But I do have something the Lord recently gave me. It's an age-old subject. We've heard it many times. But Lord willing, the Lord will trust, the Lord will bless and anoint the thoughts that He's given us. This is, today, as y'all know, is Father's Day. There are certain days of the year, seems like the card business, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Valentine's Day, and maybe there's other days. You can go to the store and look for a card for someone you love, and there's a lot of love on those cards. They say, I love you, I love this, love that, love, love, love. I'm learning that love just doesn't have the meaning today that it once did. Seems like because of people's actions and words and the way that this old world's going, that love is not what it used to be. But I'm thankful to know this afternoon that the love of God is still the same. The love of God, it says in Romans 5:5, was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit, which He has freely given unto us. The Lord has given us, you and I, everything we need to be successful in our walk with the Lord. And I thank the Lord for His love that's been shed into my heart. We couldn't be examples. We couldn't be successful in living for the Lord without the love. Brother Rick's been dealing with it a few Sundays in Sunday school. But we must have that love for God. It starts with Him. We really don't know how to love somebody else or express that love until we love Him and He's put His love in us. He's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He's the Creator. He gives life and breath, and He sustains the spiritual life of a man. And I thank the Lord for that this afternoon. I would like to visit a scripture that my aunt, Armilda, used to preach on often, I would say, back in her day. It's found in Romans 8:28. You all know what that says, don't you? Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, I'm sure you've discovered as you go through life, there are things that come about in life that you've got to deal with out of necessity. Not always pleasant things to deal with. I know that in my 30 years at GM working as a millwright, there were good parts to the job, there were bad parts of the job, and nevertheless, they was all part of the job. We had to take the bad with the good. And so there are things that every one of us sometimes have to endure, but it's really more pleasant and more blessed to us whenever we can do it because we love to do it, isn't it? Love is a great motivator. It motivates every one of us. Love is a necessity. It comes from God. It's an action word. I say I love God, I need to act like it. I say I love my wife, I need to act like it. All things, the writer says here, Paul says here, work together for good to them that love God. Think about Brother Ostis told us one time, he said, not everything that comes our way is for our good. Some things come our way to come against us to destroy us, but the Lord knows how to work it all together to make it for our good. He's not interested in you and I being a failure. He wants you and I to be successful. And I'm glad that by the grace of God that we're able to be successful. There's a lot of benefits to loving God. To them that love God. Loving God is the human perspective of this verse. It comes from the human side. You and I are to love. you and I are to love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you and I are to appreciate the fact that we love Him no matter what. No matter what. No matter what He permits to come our way, no matter what we have to deal with. But we are to love God no matter what. It's an unconditional love. We've heard in the Sunday school this morning of His unconditional love. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. We certainly didn't deserve it. We certainly wasn't showing our love and affection to Him, but He still went to that cross and gave His life and shed His blood for every one of us. That's the gospel story, isn't it? That's the old story of Jesus and His love and His cross that He bore for you and I. I thank the Lord for that today. And the things that God allows in our life is not predicated or does not depend on whether you and I think it's right. We got our own ideas and thoughts about things as we deal with life. But I am to love God no matter what and whether I think it's right or not. I am to have that kind of trust and that kind of faith in God. There's two things about love that is very prominent to me. One is faith worketh by love. If I have a lot of love for God, I believe I can have a lot of faith in trusting the Lord, knowing that He loves me, that He cares for me. The song says, no matter what happens, no matter how bad it is, no matter how troubling it is, no matter what it looks like to you and I, to the human perspective, the human perspective is loving God. That's what we ought to do, is to love God. And I'm thankful today that we can, by the grace of God, that we can love Him in such a way that our faith would be inspired. The other thing about love, not only that faith worketh by love, but the other thing about love is that perfect love casteth out fear. And there's so much that the enemy can use to cause or bring fear upon our hearts today. So many things that concern us, so many things that trouble us. And as I was thinking on some of these things, I think about you and I. I do a lot of praying for the children, for our lost loved ones, and we all have loved ones that we feel are probably not in the ark of safety, not saved. And I want to tell you something. I want to remind you of something this afternoon. When you're praying for someone to be saved, that the Lord would save them, that the Lord would send conviction on their hearts, don't be surprised if they begin to deal with a difficulty or a hard place in their life. Don't be surprised if the Lord doesn't bring them down and afflict them through their flesh. Or some other need in a way. The Lord has, He finds a way to get people's attention. And I don't want you to be discouraged when you're praying for a loved one. We don't want to see anyone suffer. We don't want to see those we love suffer. We don't want to see those that we love go through hard and difficult places. But nevertheless, I want to see them saved. I want them to be saved before they leave this world. And the song says, whatever it takes, Lord. Of course, it's talking about us. That's what I'm willing to do. With my family, my loved ones that are not saved, I'm going to say, Lord, whatever it takes. Because their soul is more precious and more valuable than anything I know. And sometimes the Lord has, it's His mercy and His love that He works through people this way. So I want us to take courage and be strong, and even though it may hurt to watch someone we love suffer, folks, Jesus doesn't cause us or allow us to suffer just to get pleasure out of it. He has a purpose for everything that He permits and allows to come our way. And I believe that with all my heart. I believe He cares, and I believe that He knows just what it takes. I thought of something else that's just now coming to my mind. We go through our hardships, we go through our trials, and Brother Austin said one time, folks, he said, it's a good idea that when you go through a hard and a difficult place, and the Lord teaches you a lesson, that you learn that lesson the first time so you don't have to go through it again. It's a good time to get the value out of it, that you don't have to pay that price again, that you don't have to go through that for that reason again. Because the Lord, He's got benefits for each and every one of us. And it all is produced because of His love and His mercy and His goodness. Oh, I see God today in His great wisdom and His great understanding, knowing just how, just what it's going to take to get you and I to heaven, to get our loved ones to heaven. But He said here, we know that all things work together for good. It'll be for your good. Can we believe that this afternoon? Can we accept that, knowing that all things will work together for good to them that love God? Then He said, to them who are the called, according to His purpose. The called in this verse of Scripture is the divine perspective of this verse. The call, He called, He's called. The Lord calls people. He calls people to Him by His Spirit, through His Word. The Lord calls. And He said, to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. And it must be His purpose, folks. It cannot be our purpose. We've got to let go and let God do whatever His will and whatever His purpose is in our life. And that is so hard for the human body, for the human mind to take in. But we've got to be able to do that. Because we love God and God loves us. And His love has been put in our hearts by His Holy Spirit. I thank the Lord this afternoon that whether we believe it's right or whether we believe it's wrong, we know that it's from God, and God does all things well. He doesn't make any mistakes. I believe that. We've had some tragedies happen to us down through the years. Things come along, disappointment, sorrow, sadness. First child that we had was born, stillborn after 9 months of her carrying the child. Don't understand these kind of things. But I've always believed and known that God loved me. He loved me. While I was a sinner, He died for me and gave His life for me. Saints, it's imperative that we always remember that. That even when we didn't deserve it, even justly, that He could have destroyed us and sent us to a devil's hell. Or allowed us to go to a devil's hell. He still had mercy on us. And He still died for us and gave His life. No, I have no doubt that this God that inhabits eternity, and He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I no doubt in my mind that Jesus had us in mind today when He hung on that cross, when life was going out of His body, when His blood was spilling out on the ground. He had us in mind. And He died because He cared for us, because He loved us. And I'm so thankful for that today. We know that all things, do we know that today? Sometimes we tend to want to question God and say, God, I don't understand this, I don't understand that. That's the human side of us. But I'm trying to encourage us this afternoon, trust God. Love Him with all of your heart. Stay in His will. Stay in His purpose. And let Him work His purpose in your life. That's a good place to be, is in His purpose. The next verse, to me, goes right along with it. It's probably a little harder, maybe, for us to attain. In a sense that it takes a lot of God in order for you and I to accomplish this. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. When I think about the foreknowledge of God, I don't know what you think about, what it means to you. But He said, for whom He did foreknow. I believe He's talking about a relationship to those who are called. A relationship of you and I with Him. The kind of relationship, if you will, that Adam had with Eve. The Scripture says that when they were put out of the garden after such and such a time, Adam knew his wife Eve. It was an intimate, a personal relationship. They came together as one. Isn't that what the Bible teaches us? Man, woman come together and they shall become as one. That's what we are to become with Christ. Become one with Christ, one with God. He said, whom he did foreknow. So he wants to know you and I. He wants to be acquainted with us. We need to have that kind of relationship where the scripture says he will guide us with his eye. The kind of relationship where we're paying attention, where we're focused on him. Even through our problems and all of our trials and everything, I can look up and say, Lord, you know. Lord, you know. You see all this, Lord. I want to commit it all into your hand. You know. Because he truly does. And he wants to have that kind of personal relationship with you and I. Whom he did foreknow, the people that are called, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. The Lord knows those that are his. That's scripture, isn't it? The good shepherd knows his sheep, doesn't he? But you know, there were some in the Bible that he said he didn't know. Those that had gone out and said, Lord, we've done this in your name. We've done that in your name. We've done all these kind of things in your name. And he said, depart from me, didn't he? Matthew 5 and 21 or 24 somewhere. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. This is what he means. He never knew them in an intimate way. They never took the time to develop and build a relationship with him. A kind of relationship where they entered into his presence to where they could reciprocate this love. You know, love is to be reciprocated. When he loves us, we need to love him. It goes back and forth. The Lord wants to be loved. He loves to be loved. He wants to be appreciated. He wants us to know we care. We know he cares for us, but he wants to know that we care and we appreciate it. That's what we do when we go to prayer many times, isn't it? Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me. Thank you for what you've given me. Thank you for life and breath. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for taking me out of that dump that I lived in for so long. And change my life. Thank you, Lord. The Lord loves to be praised. Bible says he loves to be praised. And his name is worthy to be praised, isn't it? He also did predestinate. So he knows his sheep. Predestination here is our glorification, or him glorifying us. Through his spirit that he puts in us. And he blesses us in that relationship where he knows us with his knowledge and our knowledge. The predestination here doesn't mean what people say, well, these, so many going to be saved and this one's not going to, that doesn't mean that at all. We all still have a will, don't we? A free will. We all still make our choices. But he said here, and I hope we can get it clear so we can understand it. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. He knows each and every one of us. He wants to glorify himself in us, in our lives, that you and I can be conformed, that we can be made into the image of his Son. And the whole thing is predicated on us loving God. You and I loving God. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things that we need would be added unto you. You know what's happening today? People losing their love. People losing their love. They're losing their desire for God. They're losing their desire or their love for spiritual blessings. And they're starting to seek more and more after fleshly desires and fleshly blessings. Lord, help us. This love is important to you and I. I want to read two verses of song in our book. O love divine unfathomed, O shoreless sea of bliss, thy throne the highest heaven, yet flowing down to this dark world of guilt and sorrow. redeems the fettered soul. Thy paths of peace I follow, O love, our hearts extol. Worlds of ecstatic glory, love opens to our view. Folks, the more that we love God, the closer we get to Him, the greater, the scripture says, I saw Him high and lifted up, the greater we see Him in our own mind, in our own thoughts, and in our own lives. It said, worlds of ecstatic glory, love opens to our view. The more that we can see heaven, the more that we can see glory, the more that we can see and even understand more what God is really trying to do for you and I. At times people just don't understand. And a lot of times it's because they don't have the love they ought to have. When Jesus was dealing with the first church over there in Revelation, the church at Ephesus, He commended them for a lot of things. They were faithful in a lot of things, but the one thing that they had done was lost their first love. Love is important to us, isn't it? Love is valuable to us. Love, see, worlds of ecstatic glory, love opens to our view, where saints and angels truly find joys forever new. Sweet element of heaven, He is supremely blessed, who in thy sea o'erwhelmed has found eternal rest. Oh, thank God for His love, and I'm thankful for the love that He's put in my heart. The desire to live for Him, the desire to serve Him, the desire to please Him. I don't want to grieve His spirit. I don't want to quench His spirit. But I want to handle that precious, sweet spirit that He so freely sent from heaven to earth for you and I. To dwell within our breasts, to share the love of God through our hearts. I don't want to quench that spirit. I don't want to grieve it. Lord, help me to be careful how I handle God. How I handle God in my life. I want Him to know in every respect that I love Him. And when I do mess up, like David messed up a lot, I want to be quick to go to Him and tell Him, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. And Lord, I'm asking for more grace and more love that I'll be more faithful the next time that I get an opportunity to deal with this. We need His love. Oh, love, supreme affection. We bow low at thy shrine. Love is our great salvation. Oh, love. Oh, love divine. Thank God for His love today. He also did predestinate to glorify you and I, to be conformed to the, it takes Him to do that. He has to do that work, doesn't He? To glorify you and I, that we might be conformed to the image of His Son. Can you imagine that everything that we do and all that we say and our actions, our attitudes, our words, that we glorify the image of His Son? That puts a great responsibility on us, doesn't it? But you know what? The Lord doesn't tell us or ask us to do anything that He doesn't have the grace to give us to do it. He has the grace for you and I to be able to get there. May not be there today. Would Paul say, I've not apprehended all, but I go on to apprehend those things that I haven't apprehended? We continually work on this thing, don't we? But if you lose the love of God out of your heart, you won't continue to work on it. You'll lose the desire. You'll lose your purpose. You'll lose your way. That we might be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. I think about my brother-in-law, John. I've said it here before. But I think it's a very good example, the image of Christ. John liked to carve animals out of wood, and he was pretty good with birds especially. Somebody asked him one time, said, how do you do that? How can you carve something, an animal like that out of wood? And John's reply was, I just cut out everything that's not a bird. I get rid of everything that don't look like a bird. Folks, the Lord wants to get rid of everything that doesn't look like Jesus. He wants to glorify himself in you and I, that we can be conformed to the very image of his Son. That's a high calling. And the Bible tells us we have a high calling, doesn't it? It is a high calling in Christ Jesus. Then he said in verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate or glorify, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, then he also glorified. He also glorified. This is what happens when you and I allow the effectual working and communication of the gospel working in us and through us. Paul says we're ambassadors for Christ. When we get ourselves right, when we get ourselves in a place that God can use us, folks, I'm telling you, we can be a real blessing to the Lord, a blessing to one another, a blessing to the church, a blessing to our family, when we get things right in our own hearts and in our own lives. Glorification is God's doing, isn't it? Whom he did predestinate, he called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I'm thankful for love. It's the greatest force and the greatest power on earth is the power of love. You can hate someone all you want to hate them, and you'll never win their souls. You can love them with all of your heart, and you can heap coals of fire upon them through love, and you can win a soul through the power of love. We're in the business to try to win souls, aren't we? Lord wants us to work for him to win souls, to glorify him. I want to read one more verse of scripture. I said I wouldn't be up here long enough for you to get too sleepy by the help of the Lord. Well, I want to read another one. It goes, in my mind, goes along with this. It's found in the book of Psalms, all the way over in the 139th Psalm. I'd like to read this, comment a little bit. Psalms 139 and 23. You've read it, you've heard it before. The psalmist cried out and said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Folks, this is someone that's interested in being transparent before God. Are you afraid to be transparent? Are you afraid to just open it up, open the door, let the Lord walk in and walk around your heart and see where everything is? See what you got going on. See what's in your house. Search me, O God. Folks, he's giving the Lord the right of way to do this. He's asking God to search him here. Here's a man that David, the Bible says he was had a heart after God's own heart. He loved God, didn't he? And God loved him. And here's his response to God. Here's his desire. He said, know my heart. Know my heart. Try me. And know my thoughts. That's quite a prayer. You pray to the Lord like that, you better mean it. You better mean it. Lord, conform me to the image of your dear Son. And he said, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. He understood. You and I are to understand that as we allow the Lord to glorify himself in us, through us, in our lives, as we get lower and lower and lower, more humble, as we become more submissive and consecrated to him, it is all to come about to lead me in the way of everlasting. It's because I want to live an everlasting, eternal life with God forevermore. Search me. Oh God, can we say that? It's going to take great faith. It'll take great courage. And it'll take a relationship, Lord, that God wants to have with each and every one of us, the foreknowledge of God in each and every one of our hearts and lives. He didn't want anything to be in the way. Didn't want any questions when he got down to the end. See if there be any wicked way now in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I believe it would do us well from time to time to make ourselves transparent before God. Say, Lord, just look at me through and through. See if there's anything there that would hinder me from making heaven my home. See if there's anything there that would hinder me from making this walk with victory in my soul. I want to be faithful. I want to make heaven my home, folks. Thank the Lord for the love of God. One scripture, Ephesians, the 5th chapter, says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. I want to be a follower of God. And I may lose a lot of my mind, my memory and all those kind of things, but I'll tell you what I don't want to lose. I don't want to lose the love of God. I don't want to lose the love of God out of my heart, folks. I want to love Him. I want to love Him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the way Jesus said to do it, wasn't it? To love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So just a little encouragement this afternoon. Remind us how important loving God really is. And how important it is that He love us. That we allow Him to have the right of way in our life. To allow Him to walk with us and lead us and guide us. Search me, O Lord. See if there be anything in me that would hinder me from making my eternal reward. I want to make heaven. I want to be faithful. I want to see everyone else make heaven too. Lord, bless each and every one of us this afternoon. Be encouraged. Love the Lord with all your heart. Amen.